In Luke chapter 23, I tell you, it's to compress this into a 15-minute sermon. I'm just kidding. Not going to happen. It's difficult. You know, because there's so much to be said. And we could back up a few days and cover the crucifixion. We'll try to skim across that. But the biggest point of today is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Can you imagine that Jesus was there when the Father said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God said, "Let us, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, let us make man in our image." And so we are a reflection of God. And then the Bible says, before the foundation of the world, the decision was made, the plan was made, that Jesus Christ would leave heaven and come to earth and walk as a man. In fact, come as a baby and grow as a child and then grow into manhood and walk among sinners like us. That He would suffer and be hungry and thirsty. And that He would go to the cross to pay the price, the penalty for sin we committed. That lie you told, Jesus took it to the cross. You're cheating, Jesus took it to the cross. Anybody want to admit sin? We can say it's on the cross. I didn't think so. So our sin was nailed to the cross. But in order for your sin to be paid and applied by the blood of Jesus, you individually and independently must go to God in prayer from your heart to God's heart and say, "God, I know I am a sinner. I know You sent Jesus to die for my sin. And I put my faith in You and ask You to forgive my sins and save my soul." You must pray. Individually, independently, you must ask God's forgiveness. That's how you're born again. In Luke chapter 23 and verse number 20, Jesus had been arrested. He spent the night in a jail that was a pit. They lowered Him through a hole down into a pit, into the mire. He slept there that night. We don't have record of His prayer, but don't you know that that night He was talking to the Father? Just as He would as He escaped and went into the mountain to talk to the Father. He prepared Himself to go to that cross the next morning. The Bible says they got up early in the morning. Now this is on the day of the crucifixion. And they went and they got Jesus out of that jail. And they carried Him before the council. They carried Him before Herod. They carried Him before Pilate. Pilate's wife came to Him and said, "Have nothing to do with this man. I have suffered dreams about this man. He is a just man." Pilate says to the crowd, "I find no fault in this man. Nothing worthy of crucifixion or execution." And so it is the time of the Passover, and according to the law, I must release to you one prisoner. And I propose that I release to you Jesus. I'll release to you Jesus because He's really done nothing wrong. There was a murderer that was being held by the name of Barabbas. A murderer. And they said, "Release Barabbas." Excuse me. "Release the criminal." He said, "Well, then what do you want me to do with Jesus?" In verse number 21, they cried, crucify him. Crucify him. And so they released a murderer there in verse number 25. They had whipped him. They pulled his beard. They spit on him. They mocked him. And then they put a cross on his shoulders. And he carried that cross through the streets up to Calvary. There, they nailed his hands and feet to that cross. There, they pressed a crown of thorns into his brow, bloodied and beaten and almost unrecognizable. They hung him on that cross. And if you can imagine, his best friend John stood at the foot of that cross next to Mary, the mother of Jesus. There was a crowd of people out there that was walking by, wagging their heads and gazing at the scene. The soldiers who nailed his hands and his feet with his blood on their hammer and on their hands. They stood by watching. And Jesus said something remarkable. Toward those people who had put him there, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Isn't that incredible? Jesus forgave the ones who crucified him. The ones who cried, crucify him. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand. It may be that you come to church this morning with no understanding of God and the Bible and Jesus. No understanding of the definition of sin. No understanding of what it is that you have done, why it's so bad, why it's so wrong. In fact, many of the things that we do that are wrong with God are acceptable by society today. And you may not understand it. And Jesus says, they know not what they do. And the Father is ready to forgive if you will reach out from your heart to God and ask forgiveness. They took him off that cross. A man named Joseph of Arimathea. And another fellow. Who else was it? Do you remember? It was Nicodemus of John chapter 3. Who said, how can a man be born again when he is old? Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they had asked requests to take the body off the cross, and they took the body off the cross and they wrapped it up. It says Nicodemus brought the spices that were necessary for burial. And they wrapped his body and they went around the corner through a garden to a tomb that was there that Joseph is having made for his family. And they laid the body of Jesus there. And they rolled a great stone in front of it, as is depicted in this illustration. The government posted guards because they said, if we don't, somebody will take the body and it'll be a mess. They posted guards there. And the church went into hiding. They got Jesus. They crucified him. Who's next? What are we going to do now? They went into hiding and they stayed together and they were still a church and they were still a church family, but they were scared for what was on the outside. And a day went by and they wept and they wondered and they doubted what they had just devoted the last 3 years of their lives to. Understand, they were expecting a revolution. They were expecting everything to change in their country because they were occupied by the Roman government, but they wanted a Jewish government in control. Kind of like in America when we vote for a new president, we think everything's going to change now, right? No, it didn't, did it? Well, okay. We'll talk about it later. But we expect if we get this new president, he's going to change everything. He's going to fix everything. It's going to be great again, right? It's going to be great. And so we think that's going to happen. And so they thought Jesus was going to be the king of Israel. He was going to turn everything around. And that's what they were anticipating. And now he's dead. But he's not just dead. He's been dead a day. He's been dead 2 days. Saturday rolls around and it's the Sabbath. It's the holy day. He's been dead 3 days. And now it enters into Sunday, the first day of the week, and the Jewish calendar begins at dusk and the first star appears in the sky. That is the next day, the evening and the morning, where the next day we see in Genesis. And I don't know what Jesus was doing that night, but I know he was free from the tomb. And early in the morning, there were some ladies in the church. We have great church ladies, don't we? They'd be there in the morning, wouldn't they? Early in the morning, ready to go. They came to the tomb. And they were carrying their spices and ointment to anoint the body of Jesus for, you know, mourners. And the earth shook. The rumble. The stone. They said, who's going to remove this great big stone? Well, God moved it, didn't he? Just rolled it right out of the way. The soldiers lay there as if they were dead. And they looked in the tomb and he wasn't in there. The wrappings were folded and laid apart. He wasn't in there. There were two men in white apparel. And we see that the Bible tells us in chapter 24. In verse number 3, it says, they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Is that why we wear shining garments on Easter? Shining garments. And as they were afraid and they bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, these two men said to those ladies, why seek ye the living? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. That's what it's about. That's why we're here. That's why we have faith. That's what our faith is about. Because if he had stayed in the grave, we would have no hope. But Jesus has victory over the grave. Jesus has victory over death, hell, and the grave, the Bible says. He is our Savior. He is not here, for he is risen. Verse number 8, they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told these things unto the 11 and all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things to the apostles. Verse 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, they believed them not. Why? Why will people come to church on Easter Sunday? Why will they sit in the pews and sing the songs, He lives within my heart, and walk away without a Savior, without a hope, without their sins being washed away, without their name written in the book of life? Why? Why would we do that today? When I'm telling you, I'm expressing to you right now with all that I've got, that you can be saved, that your sins can be washed away, that your name can be written in the book of life, and you can be assured a home in heaven and eternity with God. You can if you will. But the women came and they said, he's risen. And the apostles, the church leaders didn't believe it. They doubted it. Why? Because they were hopeless. Because of all the suffering, because of what they had seen and what they had experienced and the fear that crept in, they were hopeless. And if you're here this morning, hopeless without God, you have an opportunity today to put your faith in Him and have hope again. After they said that, the Bible says that John and Peter ran to the tomb. And when they got in, they saw that the body was gone. In John chapter 20, we could turn there if you'd like to, but Mary stayed behind as the other women went to report to the apostles. She felt a presence as she wept, and she turned to see who she believed to be the gardener. And she said to him, "Sir, if they have put him here and it was wrong and he wasn't supposed to be here, tell us where you've put him. We want to go see him. We'll move him if we have to, but just let us know, because if he's not supposed to be in there, let us remove him." And you know what the gardener said? The gardener said, "Mary." And Mary knew the voice of the great shepherd. When Jesus said her name, she knew he was not just the gardener. He was the risen Savior. And she said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." And she reached for his feet. Well, Jesus, even that night, said, "You tell all the apostles to get together. I'm going to come see you." There was another fellow named Thomas. Thomas missed church that day. You ever miss church? What happens when you miss church? Can you imagine you missed church and Jesus showed up? I mean, the good stuff always happens when you're not there, right? Thomas missed church and Jesus showed up. And then after Jesus left, the apostles told Thomas, "You missed it. Jesus was here. He showed up. He walked in." Thomas says, "I don't believe it." He said, "I won't believe it unless I can put my finger in the holes that I saw nailed through his hands. I won't believe it unless I can put my hand in his side where I saw them spear him and the water and the blood poured out. I don't believe it." Boy, Baptists have a lot of doubt, don't they? You ever talk about somebody and then you realize they're standing right behind you? You know what Jesus said? Jesus, now this is not in the Bible, but let's just imagine it. Tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Go ahead. Behold my hands and my feet and my side." Thomas said, "Lord." Guys, it's time that we put the doubt aside. It's time that we stop letting fear control us and put our faith in the Almighty Savior. Because the resurrection is the thing we're celebrating today. But it was the suffering of the cross that paid for my sins and yours. You see, the apostles were told ahead of time that Jesus would rise again. The angels told the women. They reported to the apostles that Jesus had risen again. Thomas missed the first approach of Jesus. Listen, doubt is reasonable. But it's time we overcome it and put our faith in the living Savior who will forgive your past, who will love you today, and will give you hope for tomorrow. Would you stand? Father, we love you so much, and we celebrate the resurrected Savior, our Savior. Lord, if there's anyone here who has any doubt or confusion about eternity, about their salvation, I pray that right now they will find their faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. If you want to talk to me, I'll be glad to pray with you. Whatever's on your heart, this is the time. You can pray where you are. God can hear you from there. God, forgive me of my sins. I put my faith in you. If you've already accepted Christ as your Savior and you know your name's in heaven, let me ask you this. Have you been buried with Him in baptism? Have you surrendered your life to walk in the newness of faith? Are you ready to live for Jesus? I've said so many times, but let me say it again this morning. You've seen what you could do with your life. Are you ready to see what God could do with it? Just between you and God, just talk to Him. God bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?